Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to St. Andrew's tonight. Isn't this great? I mean, just look at all of you looking very intrepid. Please do not look so concerned. It is Christmas Eve. There is only one more sleep to Christmas. And from myself and all the staff here at St. Andrew's, can I wish you all and your families a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. My name is Darren. I'm one of the ministers here at the church, believe it or not. And I tell you my name because there is a funny story about how I found out what it meant a couple of years ago. I'm from Northern Ireland, and Darren has its roots in the old, in an old Gaelic language, an old Celtic language. And a few years ago, I got a book of Irish names. And I was shocked and surprised to see that the name Darren had the root in the Irish word for little fellow, or little chap indeed. And I knew my parents had a sense of humour. Now this story goes on a bit. I knew my parents had a sense of humour when I found this out, because the year I was born, I broke the record for the heaviest baby at the Ulster Hospital in Northern Ireland at 10 pounds, 10 ounces for all the old people, and 4.8 kilograms for all you very modern people. You think, why on earth am I telling you this very odd story? Well, I'll let you in on a little professional ministerial secret. For those of you who think, I just work on Christmas Eve and one day a week on Sundays, we do other things. And one of my enjoyable tasks is helping out at a local school. And as a reward for the early morning assemblies, as a reward for spending myself at this local school, I go to a local well-known multinational coffee chain, is my tradition. And if I'd been a very good boy that week, I might even reward myself with a snack, which happened more often than it probably should have, to be honest. But something very strange happened. I can't remember exactly, between 2 years and 18 months. The baristas at this well-known coffee chain, they started asking me for my name. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was wonderful. I could be anyone. I could go in each week, and I had a different name on my coffee cup. Each and every week, I was having personality dysphoria. I would go in and my best Queen's English, I would try and pronounce my name as Darren. And well, I got Davids, I got Dans, I got Davises. Things took a real turn for the worst when I got Doris. Yeah, I got Doreen twice. And I just had to stop going when I got Dork written on the side of the cup. I did feel sorry for one young lady one Friday morning. She wrote on the side of the cup, "This is a very stressful job. I am sorry." She didn't even attempt it. Now, why do I tell you that? Why do I introduce it this way? Because names, they are so important to us. We don't want people to get our names wrong. We don't like to be a statistic. We don't like to just be a number. We know that people's names matter and they carry significance. Unlike the letter that I received this week, I got the dreaded letter from the Inland Revenue Department. And there was two numbers on it. One 12-digit number that identified me to the government, and one other very depressing number at the bottom. Well, thankfully, it wasn't 12 digits long. But I tell you, it was very, very depressing. We don't like to be just a statistic or a number, don't we? And tonight, our reading that we had from the book of Matthew, we don't have two important numbers. We have two greatly important names. And if you can get the names right that were mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, well then let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it brings you right to the heart of the Christmas message and right to the very heart of the Christian message. So please, do not get these two names mixed up this Christmas. It's a great temptation for stories that we know ever so well. For the story that we had read in Matthew chapter 1, it's about a young man called Joseph. And Joseph was told that he's going to become a dad. It's a very simple story. He's going to become a dad, and he's going to have to give the boy the name Jesus. We don't know very much about Joseph, let me tell you. You'll be delighted. It actually makes for very short sermons. You'll be pleased to know. But he was a carpenter. He wasn't at the top of the ladder. He wasn't a high-flying religious professional, but his life is going very well. We're told that he was engaged to a young girl called Mary. Life is going well. He's pledged to be married. He's got a job. He's got a girl. It's great to have engagements at St. Andrew's, let me tell you. The young church members, the couples, they come in arm, bright-eyed, doe-eyed, young and in love. And I can just imagine that Joseph, as a young man, just must have been absolutely made up for how his life was working out. But then, well, what happens? Disaster strikes. As word starts to spread around the village of Nazareth, as the gossip starts to be overheard, as looks and rolling eyes start to appear in the shops and on the street, can you imagine how Joseph felt when he found out that his beloved engaged Mary was found to be with child? Now, Joseph, he wasn't a midwife. He hadn't read biology at Cambridge University. But he knew the birds and the bees. He'd done the maths. He got his sums to add up. And he knew that there was no possible way that this child could be his. Can you just imagine? Oh, it was from the Holy Spirit. Oh, right. From the Holy Spirit, was it? Yes, 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 right, of course. I mean, how would you feel? Angry? Disgusted? Betrayed? I tell you how I feel. I would feel absolutely gutted. The rumors in the village, the rolling eyes, the intakes of breath, the deep, deep shame. But our story goes on. We're told in our next verse, in verse 19, that because he was faithful to the law, what the Bible is telling us is that Joseph was a good guy. Because Joseph was a good guy and he loved God, and perhaps he was still in love with Mary. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to shame her. So he went about ending their engagement very, very quietly. And it's an awful thing, isn't it, when engagements break down. The pain, the confusion, the hurt, two families who thought they were coming together. I can tell you that Joseph had no clue what was going on at this Christmas. And because he didn't have a clue what was going on, because he could not understand or comprehend, he gets a clear spoken word so that there can be no confusion. There can be no mistake about what is going on at Christmas. Joseph simply couldn't figure it out for himself. And 2020 years later, I honestly do not think that that much has actually changed. That you and I, we can't make sense of this wonder, of this message, of this season without a clear, spoken, revelatory words. So please don't get confused at Christmas time. And that's where we come to the very core of our message tonight. We're told that this, as Joseph couldn't figure it out, an angel appeared to him and said that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Names have meaning, don't they, as I introduced us. Some names mean more than others. This name certainly means a lot more than little fellow. For those of you who are wondering, Jesus is just the Greek translation for the name of Joshua. It was a very ordinary name, but it carried great meaning, for it means that God saves. God saves. That this baby, there's going to be a plan. There's going to be action. There's going to be a mission. There's going to be a mission of rescue. And well, what would this baby save the people from? I wonder how you would like that verse 21 to end. If you could just read it in your head, how would you like it to end, those last two words? Recent Irish rugby results? The 8,000 calories you're looking down the barrel at tomorrow? Or perhaps more poignantly, economic uncertainty, our loneliness, our own dysphoria and health problems. I imagine many of us would just like to be saved from the protests or other international developments such as Brexit. But the Bible leaves us in no mistake. It leaves us in no confusion as it says he will save his people from their sins. And now we drill into the heart of the matter. You see, sin, well, one speaker, he called it, well, it's sin. We don't like it in the 21st century. It seems so old-fashioned. We just make it into a bit of growing up naughtiness, a bit of fun. Or on the other hand, we use sin for those who are the most extreme in our society, the robbers, the criminals, the murderers and thieves. Personally, I like to reserve the word sin for those who work in the Inland Revenue Department. If you work for the Inland Revenue Department, you're very welcome here this evening. I joke about sin, but the Bible certainly does not. It is so painfully clear and it is so painfully honest. It says what sin is that us as humanity, we set ourselves up in the place of God. We ignore the Creator in the world that He has graciously given us. We act as if He is not there. We say thank you, but no thank you. And we relegate God to the suburbs of our lives. And because of sin, that is why everything has gone wrong in the world. And because God is holy, He says, I must act. I have to act. I must respond to this great evil. And you see, God responding to sin, for Him not to respond to it, it would make God a monster. But for God to respond to it, it shows us that He's actually very, very good. And He hates evil in His world. So how does this baby, how does this Jesus, how does He save us from our sins? Well, the baby became a boy and the boy became a man. And approximately 30 years later, the man hung on a cross and he cried out to his Father in heaven, "It is finished. It is finished." What was finished? His rescue mission, his salvation. He had finished saving his people from their sins. That's what he came to do, to give his life on a cross, to die in place of you and me, to die in the place of us, setting ourselves up as gods in God's world. He took the punishment so that you and I, if we trust him, we need never have to. He died to deal with our sins so that when we die, we don't have to deal with our sins ourselves. And can I tell you this evening, at the risk of offending you all, whether you've been coming to this church for 20 years or you've just been coming for 20 years on Christmas Eve with not much in between, that was not supposed to be a joke. But I'm serious. Do not deal with your sin yourself. Don't leave here tonight thinking you can deal with it. For the Bible says that through sin we are destined to die, we are destined to be judged, and we are destined to be condemned. And the Bible calls that condemnation hell. But Christ, because he has come, he has dealt with it on our behalf. That is the picture of the wonderful rescue mission that has been instigated at Christmas. And I would hate you to be confused about this name, because this name, it requires a response. It requires a response of real gravitas. We see the response that Joseph took in our reading from Matthew 1. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, for Joseph to do this, I think it took two things. I think it took great courage from Joseph, and it took great humility from Joseph. It took great courage to absorb the shame. It took great courage to trust in God, and it took great humility to face the rumors, to bear the weight of the shame that no doubt had penetrated and spread through his very close-knit community. And I think in the same way, it's similar for us. To understand what Jesus' name really means, it takes great courage. Because it takes great courage to say, yeah, there is something wrong. It takes great courage to put your hand up and say, all is not right in here. And it's certainly not all right out there. But it also takes great humility to say, I need help with this. I cannot deal with this sin and this shame on my own. Courage and humility. That's the response that we need to this name tonight. To say, I've not even lived up to my own standards, never mind God's. So that's why Jesus can save us. That's our first name. And very quickly, how he can do this. Well, I wonder, did anyone pick it up? Our second name that we have in our passage. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, Christmas is easy if it's all just a big fake. I mean, the presents, the trees, that's all great. But if Mary was just a promiscuous Palestinian girl who was knocking boots, well, then this is quite frankly all just a huge waste of time. But if this is true, Emmanuel, God with us, well, then that's the most scandalous message you will ever hear. The divine, the creator, the supreme, the infinite, he said, I have come down to the belly of a young Palestinian girl called Mary. That is far more scandalous than being promiscuous. You know why? Because no religion, no philosophy, no idea had ever said anything like that before. No religion had ever said, it's me, it's God, and hey kids, you're in trouble. I am coming down. I'm coming down to be with you. I'm coming down to be for you. I'm coming down to help you. I am coming down to save you. That is what it means that God is with us. For he knows what it means to be human. He knows our pain. He knows our struggles. He knows our failures. He knows, quite frankly, that we are lost children in need of help. God with us. That is the most important relationship this Christmas. I know that for many, relationships are so hard at Christmas time. I know many families who will be struggling. Let me ask you, how are your relationships this Christmas? How are they really doing? But can I ask you a second, even harder question? How is your relationship with God this Christmas? Because I promise you, that is the relationship that you really need to respond to and ignore and put off no longer. Emmanuel, God with us. He says, I've come for you. I'm here for you. One of my heroes, the explorer Ernest Shackleton, in his amazing escape from 2 years on the ice and at sea in the Antarctic aboard the Endurance, as Shackleton and his two senior crew, Tom Crean and Frank Worsley, as they arrived on South Georgia to attempt the never-before crossing of the South Georgian mountains in the hope of finding a whaling station on the other side so they could get help to rescue the rest of the crew who were stuck back on Elephant Island. They'd been at sea for 500 days. They were in poor health, poorly equipped, and as they set out, the three men with just an axe and a piece of rope, Ernest Shackleton reflected on the darkest moment of his journey aboard the wonderful rescue mission on the Endurance. This is what he says. When I look back at those dark days, I have no doubt that Providence guided us, not only across those snowfields, but across the storm-white sea that separated Elephant Island from our landing place on South Georgia. I know that during that long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that we were four, not three. I said nothing to my companions on the point, but afterwards, Worsley said to me, Boss, I had a curious feeling on the march that there was another person with us. Crean confessed to the same idea. One feels the dearth of human words, the roughness of mortal speech, in trying to describe things intangible. But a record of our journeys would not be complete without a reference to a subject very near to our hearts. You could read that and you could think, well, maybe Shackleton was just spooked. Maybe it was just in his imagination. Maybe it was in Joseph's imagination as well. Or perhaps, as Shackleton wrote, the dearth of human words, the roughness of mortal speech. Many of us tonight, we perhaps have a sneaking suspicion. Many of us tonight, it might even be stronger than that. As we know, as we hear for the very first time, that one has come. That one has come in our darkest hour, our darkest moment. And he has not come to be against us. He has come to be with us and to be for us and to save his people from their sins. And his name is Jesus, or Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. I'm going to pray now. And I'm going to invite you all to pray with me. If you've never prayed before, don't panic. If you haven't prayed in a long time, I'm going to pray very, very slowly. I'm going to leave a space between my sentences to give a chance for those of you who just in the quietness of your own heart would like to join in. And if you would like to have great courage and great humility and give your sin to this Christ, this Savior, this Christmas, I would encourage you to join in now. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent a Savior at Christmas, your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, to save your people from their sins and to be God with us. We are sorry, Lord. We are sorry that we live against you in your world. We do not honor your way, and we do not honor you as our God. Please forgive us all of our sins in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray by the Holy Spirit that you would make these two names very real to us, and the wonder of Christmas would never be the same again. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.